everything works. Especially that thing. Check it out.
It's morning compared to your problem.
Huh?
Now computer is giving it a problem.
The computer is giving a problem.
This morning is getting stuck.
Getting stuck.
This morning the work is.
You're okay now.
Yeah, so it's having
to. You're gonna take it to the doctor or you're gonna kick it out of the house? Huh?
I think we need a dedicated computer.
For the service.
That's what we need, dedicated computers. Not these whimsical ones. Come and go, you know. Anishta to computers. Jaya. Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi jana Balabha Girivaradhari. Gopi jana Balabha Girivaradhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Jamana Tira Nana Chadi. Jamana Tira Vana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi jana Ballabha Girivara Dhyadi. Gopi jana Ballabha Girivara Dhyadi. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Jamana Tira Vanachari. Jamana Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Parabahamsa. Hari Vidyacharya Asta Tarasata Sisimad His Divine Grace Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi. This evening we're going to be discussing three verses from Canto 10, Chapter 12, the Krishna's encounter with Agasura, and what happens? Krishna's encounter with Agasura.
Just going back a little bit.
Krishna's encounter with Agasura.
Get the context.
Krishna's encounter with Agasura.
Series of verses just describing The devotees, Dasya Bhaktas, they see him as their worshipable Lord. The materialists, they just see him as an ordinary person. The yogis, absorbed after many, many lifetimes, fixing their mind upon the personality of God, cannot even touch a particle of dust from the feet of the personality of Godhead. The cowherd boys are playing with him all the time. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they're also in the constant association. So it's how special are these devotees? So lots of commentary on how special are the Brijbasis in particular, because the topic is about the cowherd boys. Section ends. So they're in this super frolicsome, playful mood, looking for the next adventure, and the next adventure shows up. Specifically, the verse says that by the arrangements of Yogamaya, it's now time for encountering a demon. So Agasura came and describes his features, and the cowherd boys were speculating, maybe this, maybe that. Maybe it's just like a big statue out here and arranged by Krishna for us to play with. Maybe this, maybe that, and some boys ran away. Maybe it's a real serpent, and said, no. Even if it is, you know what Krishna did with Baka, and you know what Krishna did with this one and that one, so there's nothing to worry about. We're really curious. Let's go inside and see what it is. And we'd really be happy to see Krishna's display of his mystic powers. He says, let's go. With their arms raised and clapping and shouting, they marched into the mouth of a gasura, and the calves, following the cowherd boys, they with their tails raised, they just went right behind him. And from the beginning of the chapter, that's a lot of calves and a lot of cowherd boys, something like 10 million cowherd boys, and more than you can count calves, a sankhyataha. It's a big number that gives more than this and this and this and this and this. So it's a lot of calves. It was a big serpent, 8 miles long. And he waited. The serpent didn't close his mouth on the boys because he wanted Krishna to come. Then comes another celebrated verse where three things. Krishna's marveling at his Lila Shakti. What arrangements Lila Shakti has just made. Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti is thwarted, it looks like, because he didn't want them to enter, and they entered. So it's like his own potency was blocked by something, because they entered and he didn't want it. And then the next thing is he became bewildered. He was amazed at his own Lila Shakti. His own Satya Sankalpa potencies seemed to have been blocked, and he became bewildered what to do. He who is omniscient became bewildered what to do. Which means he enjoys. It didn't last long. His contemplation specifically was how to kill Agasura and how to protect the boys and the calves, without harming the boys and the calves, to kill Agasura. And then he knew what to do, and so he did what he did. He entered the body of Agasura, who tried to close his jaw, but Krishna became really, really big. Agasura's body expanded. It expanded to the point where he suffocated. His life air couldn't go anywhere. And then, so here's the text that we started yesterday, didn't finish. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked down, the effulgence entered into Krishna's body. And the last commentary we read explains, this is text 33, Vishwanath writes, according to verses 38, 39, Agasura attained a form like the Lord's and attained the Lord's abode. From this it is clear that Agasura did not attain merely Sayuja Mukti, but Sarupya Mukti. Sounds like also Salokya. Therefore, the light which was visible was the light from Agasura's spiritual body, which he attained at that moment. Because the body itself was spiritual, it could not be seen with material eyes. His entrance into the Lord's body was just a show, as in the case of Shishupal and Dantavakra. Though Shishupal and Dantavakra attained their sarupya as eternal associates of the Lord, when they died, a light from their bodies entered into the Lord. So now, continuing. This is 33, 34, 35. Jiva Goswami writes, the light was indescribable, adbhutam, because it was so bright. The devatas looked on. The soul of Agha was waiting only for Krishna. The devatas looked on in astonishment, since a sinner was liberated and because they could observe the process of liberation, which is beyond material perception. This was arranged by the Lord so that Brahma and the others would have no doubt and to astonish them. That's a secondary rasa. Since the jiva has no form and is therefore not visible, it became a form possessing light by investment of the power of the Lord. Sanatana Goswami says a number of the same things, almost identical, and then adds, the light entering Krishna is only in appearance. Actually, one merges in Brahman. This liberation, which amounts to non-existence, is not the final goal. Because it is contrary to bhakti rasa, it is rejected by the devotees. It is proper that demons attain this goal. That is the Vaishnava conclusion. It is explained in Bhagavatamrita. That's Sanatana Goswami making reference to Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So I'm going to refer to Brihat Bhagavatamrita where he writes about it. 2.1.18, the commentary. This is Gopi's rendering of Sanatana Goswami's commentary. The perfection of Sayuja, or merging into the existence of the Lord, is prized by the impersonalists, but is not found in Vaikuntha. Rather than a devotional perfection, Sayuja is a form of impersonal liberation. Even demons who hate the personality of Godhead are sometimes given Sayuja as a reward for constantly meditating on the Lord as an enemy. But anyone who has tasted devotional service to the Supreme Lord rejects Sayuja. And a chapter later, 2.2, text 2.10, he makes reference to the seventh canto, Bhagavatam 1.27. 7.1.27. This is set this first chapter of Canto 7 is a discussion between Narada and Yudhisthira in the presence of Krishna and the rest of the Pandavas and other assembled persons. After the Rajasuya Yajna, they saw Shishupal merge in the body of Krishna, so Yudhisthira asks Narada, how does this happen? Liberation is so rare to achieve, and this bad person achieved it. How did that happen? And Narada proceeds to explain how it happened, and this is text 27. By devotional service, it seems, this is Sanatana Goswami describing, in the seventh canto, 7.1.27, Narada even seems to glorify hatred of the Lord, quote, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity toward him. That is my opinion. So, Sanatana Goswami writes, one explanation of Narada's peculiar praise of hatred towards the Supreme Lord is that he is subtly ridiculing the impersonal liberation of Sayuja, or merging into the existence of the Supreme. What he is actually saying then is that by being inimical to the Lord, one achieves only the worthless state of becoming one with the Lord. Tanmayata. So that's Sanatana Goswami's commentary. And Jiva Goswami writes, the jiva manifested as a light which could be seen in order to show the Lord's power. So that's 20, that's 33, here's 34. Translation.
Remember, this is Prabhupada's translation and purport. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from Nandana Kanana. What's Nandana Kanana?
Indra's garden.
Sometimes, yeah, it's heavenly garden. It's not his name. His garden has a slightly different name, which I couldn't find. But anyway, a celestial garden, maybe Indra's garden. So they have nice flowers there. So the demigods picked flowers from there and showered them down. The celestial dancing girls began to dance, and the Gandharvas were famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his duties, comma, glorifying the Lord. Purport, Prabhupada. Everyone has some particular duty. The Shastra has concluded, nirupitaha, that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality Godhead by his own qualifications. If you're a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you're a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing musical instruments. Svanustatasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. 1.2.13 Bhagavatam. The perfection of life is to satisfy the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, beginning from this earth, where we go? Beginning from this earth up to the celestial kingdom, everyone engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the decision of all great saintly persons is that whatever qualifications one has acquired should be utilized to glorify the Supreme Lord. And then he quotes Bhagavatam 1.5.22. Idam hi pungsas tapasak shrutasya va svistasya suktasya chabodhi dattayoho avinshutorta kavibhir nirupito yad uttama shloka gunanu varnanam. Nice verse. Learned sages have definitely concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, austerity, Vedic study, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity is found in the transcendental descriptions of the qualities of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. This is the perfection of life. One should be trained how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's respective qualities, education, austerity, penance, or, in the modern world, business, industry, education, and so on. All should be engaged in glorifying the Lord. Then, everyone in the world will be happy. Paragraph. Krishna comes, therefore, to exhibit his transcendental activities so that people may have the chance to glorify him in every respect. To understand how to glorify the Lord is actual research work. It is not that everyone It is not that everything should be understood without God. That is condemned. Quoting Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, Bhagavat Bhaktihi Nasya Jati Shastram Chapastapaha Apranasyaiva Dehasya Madanam Loka Rasjanam. Without Bhagavat Bhakti, without glorification of the Supreme Lord, whatever we have is simply a decoration of the dead body. Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary. These are all very short. The devas perform the worship, arhanam, of Krishna. He who created himself, svakritaha.
Sugha, meaning those who sing beautifully, refers to the Gandharvas. Vidya Dhara means the Vidya Dharas. Vipras means Vishishta and others. Gana means Garuda and others. Jiva Goswami writes, after Krishna emerged from the snake, they rejoiced. Sanatana Goswami writes, after Krishna emerged from the snake, Tataha, they rejoiced because the demon was killed and he attained liberation. By rejoicing, they appeared to be splendid. Sura means those who give splendor. This means even the flowers were splendid. Suga means that the songs were splendid. The stavas were splendid by their nature because they could not accomplish their task by praising properly. Gana refers to the associates of the Lord or to the cowherd boys. Thus the sound of jai that they uttered were also splendid. And the final verse, when Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of jaya, jaya, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. And Prabhupada's purport reads, here the word anti, A-N-T-I, means, quote, near, indicating that even in the higher planetary systems near Brahmaloka, like Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Lord Krishna was going on. It was a big deal. Agasura's finished and liberated. Vishwanath Chakravarti writes, there was the sound of wonderful stutis, beautiful instrumental music, soft singing, shouts of jai, jai, combining to make not one festival, but an infinity of festivals. From Maharloka to Janaloka, from Janaloka to Tapaloka, the inhabitants were listening and then singing. From Tapaloka next to Brahmaloka, Swadhamna Anti, or next to Brahmaloka, Brahma heard the singing. While the light Agasura was going to Vaikuntha at that time to see the glory of Krishna, Ishashyamahi, Brahma came to Vrindavan, unseen by others, and was astonished. Or it can mean coming to Vrindavan and seeing Krishna's glory, he was astonished. Jiva Goswami writes, it's short, hearing the remarkable glorification, Brahma quickly came from his abode close to Krishna and seeing the glory, Mahi, of Krishna in giving liberation to the demon, seeing what he had not seen anywhere else, he was amazed. And Sanatan Goswami writes, Adi indicates the Apsara's ankle bells sounding and clapping of hands. Mangala Svanam refers to words like Namo Namaha. Brahma saw the greatness, Mahi, of Krishna. What's that? Giving liberation, various pastimes in Vrindavan, his clothing and his beauty. The stotras were astonishing. All the items, such as music and singing, were astonishing. There was great rejoicing. Nai kot svasva. The auspicious sounds were full of rejoicing. He, that's Brahma, saw the Lord, who appeared on earth to protect it and spread his unlimited glories. Vishwanath writes, and this is the last section, No one but an infinity of festivals was produced by the wonderful prayers, melodious instrumental music, soft celestial songs, and shouts of Jai Jai. Even in the higher planets, planetary systems like Janaloka, Maharloka, and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Krishna was going on. Brahma heard the singing. While the light of Agasura's soul was passing to Vaikuntha, Brahma, or Aja, became astonished at Krishna's glories. He came invisibly to Vrindavan. Or it can mean coming to Vrindavan and seeing Krishna's glory. Brahma was astonished. And it is pretty astonishing in multiple ways. I mean, one of them is at least Putana came with some intention to do some service. What was Agasura's service? Still, Krishna gave him liberation, and not only gave him Sayuja. I'll read from some other references. Krishna is very kind. So, Madhvacharya writes a comment. He writes a whole verse, and the verse says, Pondraka, Narakasura, Shalva, and Kamsa were all inimical toward the Supreme Personality Godhead, but because all these kings constantly thought of him, they achieved the same liberation, sarupya, mukti. The jnana bhakta, the devotee who follows the path of jnana, also attains the same destination. So we don't put that information together and come to the conclusion, okay, just become inimical, fix your mind upon Krishna in an inimical way. Because look, Narada said, you can't fix your mind any better than that. It does tell us the importance of where the mind goes. Where the mind goes while we're chanting, where the mind goes when we're cooking or doing your office work or whatever. Where the mind goes is important, because where the mind goes is where you go. Now there's practices of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti. But the purposes of the sadhana bhakti, what does Rupa Goswami say? The purposes of all the thing, the do's and the of bhakti is one thing. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So what the mind does is really important. It's also important to be favorable rather than unfavorable. Anukul yasya sankalpa, or anukul yena Krishna anushilanam, favorable. But the demigods were astonished. This unfavorable person achieved liberation. And then another astonishing thing is, you don't see the soul, but they saw the soul. And Krishna wanted them to see that here's the soul and here's Krishna, and they're two separate entities. See? You can't see the soul, right? There it is. And it waited till the soul waited until Krishna came out of the mouth of the demon. And then
So what's that merging? That yet identity isn't lost. And then later, he achieved sarupya. He didn't lose his identity. Let's see. I was just reading something, and I couldn't find it. Went back to locate it. In the Brihat Naradiya Purana, that's referenced in Hari Bhakti Vilas, who Prahlad was in his previous life. Prahlad asked Lord Nrisingadev in that Purana, "How did I become your such a dear devotee to you?" And he gives a detailed description, which I'm going to read. In ancient times, in the place known as Avanti Nagar, lived a brahmana, expert in the Vedas, whose name was Vasu Sharma. His wife, Suhila, had all the qualities of a sadhu, a peaceful nature and natural devotion to her husband. And due to possessing all these qualities, she had become famous in the three worlds. Vasu Sharma begat 5 sons in the womb of Suhila, 4 of whom were very good and well-behaved. They were full of many desirable qualities and were very respectful to their father. However, the eldest son, who was in fact you in a previous life, was attracted to prostitutes and as a result lost his character. In that life, your name was Vasudeva. By the association of a prostitute, you lost all your good qualities on the day of Nrisingha Chaturdasi. Because of a quarrel with that prostitute, you both fasted and passed the night without sleeping, and in this way, you unknowingly obtained the result of observing the Nrisingha Chaturdasi Vrata. The prostitute ascended to heaven and, in the form of an apsara, enjoyed many pleasures, but in the end, she became my beloved devotee. In the same way, you also took birth as the son of Hiranyakashipu and became my beloved devotee. By observing the Nrisingha Chaturdasi Vrata, Brahma obtains the power of creation and Shiva obtains the power of destruction. By observance of this vow, everyone can obtain any kind of power and all their desires will be fulfilled. So it makes you want to know what that vrata is, right? So then it goes on in details and details and details and details. There's another reference that I read that I couldn't find again. It said something to the effect that maybe it wasn't in relation to Prahlad. Someone achieved they did something, they got cursed, they achieved Sayuja, then they took birth again. And the commentary is saying that this demonstrates even when you achieve Sayuja, it's not that you lose your identity, you're still an entity. It's just suspended, and then again, when falling from that position or coming to the embodied position, individuality is restored. Something like that. So this Sayuja, at least in any case, these three